All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseballs, the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseballs, the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseballs, the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse that are running off my feet. I got a bad mustache, a reoccurring rash, and not a lot of cash to spend it on mustache. Man, it's good to be a geek. It's good to be a geek.
That's right. We interrupt this program to bring you stupid.
I hate your dumb voices, but I love the title of the episode.
Yes, it's Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 159. We interrupt this program to bring you stupid.
Nice.
We're not going to even talk about it.
We're going to save that
until the second segment.
Well, we could talk about other stupid stuff.
Really?
That's really the entire first segment of our show every week. It's some
stupid stuff?
Normally. Doesn't it kind of seem that way recently? Well, no, we think it's stupid sometimes.
The Lego movie?
That was kind of stupid.
Okay, well, I argue on your side.
How about the Spider-Man musical?
Wow, so we're rolling right into it then?
Oh, yeah, we're going right into dumb.
We don't want to talk about...
Oh, well, yeah, we can do that. That's not stupid.
Producer, what would you call him? Like a producer trainee? No, producer.
PIT, producer in training?
Pitts? No.
You don't want to call him Pitts. That'll stick somehow. You don't want that.
No, we don't want it. We don't want to
brand
him. I'll
end up with something like OG.
There you go. Don't want anything like that.
No.
No, he's kind of, he's coming down. His name is Mike.
Right.
No, we don't have a goofy, funny name for him yet. It's just Mike. Ooh, maybe just Mike. Might be the way to go. So Just Mike, as we will refer to him today, is here, and he's given the producer seat a workout that it hasn't had in several weeks.
In several weeks.
Thanks to, I'd like to say, senatorial candidate Best Buy Billy.
Oh, really?
I'm just saying. I don't want to say any more than that, but... you know, nobody
are we
leaves
dashing his political hopes.
Nobody leaves that chair and goes south. You know what I'm saying? It's only upwards from the chair.
That's right.
So you were saying you want to roll right into
stupid.
Stupid, right?
Right.
The theme.
The theme.
Sort of.
Spider-Man the musical.
Uh-huh.
We've talked about this before.
We
Bono,
have.
Julie Taymor.
Yes.
The biggest Broadway budget ever.
Can't wait to see Bono in the Spider-Man
outfit. It would have to sell out every single show.
Forever.
For 5.5 years to make back its money.
Wow.
Except that yesterday they announced that it's dead. They released all the actors from their contracts.
Really?
And it's done before it even opens.
Wow. What happened?
I think it was budgetary issues. Like, they still needed more money and didn't have it.
Uh-huh.
And I think some technical issues with how they were going to work it, I guess.
Okay.
How you make Spidey swing. Although it can't be that hard. I've seen it done before. But so, yeah, it's dead. It's dead before it even got off the ground.
Wow. So, and did we know in the end who was playing these roles?
Evan Rachel Woods, I believe, had been cast as Mary Jane.
Wood.
Whatever.
Okay.
And I don't think Parker had been cast yet. I don't think Spider-Man had been cast.
I thought he was that other kid from that movie.
From Across the Universe?
Yeah.
No, we had talked about that. I think he was the original rumor. But it was not settled.
Too British?
Yeah, too British for Peter. Can he pull off that role?
And then we heard, what's his name? The American Idol guy. The one who's gay.
Oh,
I'm sorry, yeah, I couldn't narrow it down any more than that. But
Lambert. Something,
yes.
Lambert, right?
Somebody
Adam
Lambert.
Lambert. Michael Lambert.
Yes, something.
Something like
Lambert.
That. And Jim Sturgis was the guy from America,
yes,
Across the Universe.
Yes, Jim Sturgis.
It is neither of those two, because now it is
nobody. Because now it is no one.
Right.
Do you think that they will do some sort of recording? Where they might release the recording. well, of the music that was written.
Maybe, but I don't even think they got to the point where they were rehearsing.
No, maybe not a cast recording per se, but, you know, bringing people in just to sing through the songs. You know, like they did with Silence of the Lambs, the musical.
Maybe. Who's gonna head that project? Bono? Is gonna get the Edge to sing everything?
I doubt it, but I'm saying, you know, that it would be a nice thing to do. Maybe somebody can pick it up and kind of, you know, make an unfortunate farce out of it.
Sure.
I would like to have a crack at that. That would be funny as heck.
All right. So then you should apply. Call Bono.
Yeah.
Text him later.
I will.
You don't have his number?
I will, Smarty.
All right. Let's stick with Spider-Man.
Okay.
There's a writer for 5 and 6.
What about 4?
Yeah, that'll happen eventually.
So 5 and 6 are being written, but no one knows nothing about 4.
Well, we know about 4. I mean, it's happening, but They've Marvel and Sony, because I guess this isn't really Marvel Productions.
This is not Marvel Sony. Productions, no.
They've announced that the gentleman who wrote Zodiac is going to be doing Spider-Man's 5 and 6, James Vanderbilt,
yes,
who I think was tied to 4, too, at one point. I don't know if he left that project or what, but...
Huh, interesting.
Don't you just think it's silly that they're going that far ahead?
No. I mean, they probably want to lock those people into contracts, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but I don't think they can guarantee Toby or what's her name.
Well, they're guaranteed for 4, aren't they?
They are guaranteed for 4, but that's
money speaks, doesn't it?
I suppose money does speak.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. I don't know what else to say.
You're looking at me like I know something. I don't know anything.
I know you don't know anything. That's the problem with this show.
This is a light week.
This is a very light week. This is going to be a short show.
It's almost a commercial length episode.
Well, you know,
I mean commercial like professional. I mean commercial like, hi, we're your sponsor commercial.
Right. Well, because the Ain't It Cool headlines were so light this week and all we do is read Ain't It Cool headlines here on this show.
Oh, really?
It's, you know, it's going to be a light week.
Who said that?
Oh, you know, people here and there.
Oh. I see.
That's part of that segment 2 business.
Oh, it is?
Okay. I'm just peppering it in there.
Okay.
It's like a teaser.
You shouldn't tease it.
I shouldn't pepper?
You should stay focused on the content for the week, and then we'll deal with any of those negative issues in segment 2, or as I like to call it, segment negative.
Right.
Segative.
No.
Negative.
Shut up. Kick ass.
Yes.
Lionsgate. They won.
Did they?
They're the winners. Now, we talked last week.
I'm surprised, considering all the players in that party.
Well, it was Paramount, Lionsgate, and Universal?
I think it was Universal, yeah.
And it looks like Lionsgate has won. So, there it is.
There it is.
Kick-Ass is going to come out. I think, well, it's done. I mean, it's filmed and done. Right. It's just looking for a distributor. So,
fall, Christmas?
They're saying 2010, so... So, like, early.
Early spring.
Early would be my guess. Right. Like, I'm thinking, like, that new cinema hotspot, which is, like, February, March now.
Right.
Because there's been, like, big releases there the past couple of years that have done very well.
Accidentally,
yeah. They'll try to sandwich it in there. I mean, at this point, I think it's just a matter of dotting the I's and crossing the T's. So, there's nothing really holding it back or preventing it from going that route.
Okay.
Bryan Singer. Don't fall asleep.
Yes, what? Did you say Bryan Singer?
Bryan Singer.
And not at all, from boredom.
Bryan Singer is maybe not going to be doing X-Men Year One anymore.
Gee, really? Is the Superman franchise back on the table?
It is, but he's not behind that.
Stupid.
Do you know what he is behind now?
What?
They've fast-tracked Battlestar Galactica.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, Battlestar not based on the TV
show?
Not
based on the TV show. A reimagining, revisionist history of...
Wait, hold on. The producer in training, Just Mike, has a comment.
Go for it.
I just don't understand how they're rebooting something that ended, 4 or 5 months ago? I read that Bryan Singer, he's doing a reboot of Battlestar Galactica. Makes no sense to me. What was wrong with Battlestar Galactica? You have legions of fans that probably don't like Bryan Singer because of what he's done with Superman and other things, and now they're trying to reboot it. I don't know what do you reboot? Star Wars.
Do you see well, how he's falling right into place? Easily that could have been, and that's news to me.
I know.
It's... Or something, just Mike on the mic, just on the mic. You know, like, there's so many bits. There's so many bits that can be done, sir.
Well,
but just Mike is absolutely correct, because why on earth would you reboot something that ended 4 or 5 months ago? And why would Bryan Singer be dumb to do it?
Well, Bryan Singer is doing it because I'm sure the paycheck was big enough. And I don't believe he was writing it. I think he's just directing it. And it's not going to be a reboot of the film franchise or of the movie show. It's going back to the roots again, which quite possibly could mean giant chrome toasters.
This is another one of those projects I think that's going to hit the wall, like Spider-Man musicals.
I don't think so. They're talking like when I say fast-tracked, they're talking like going right into production, like within the next couple of weeks.
I don't believe it.
Well, we'll follow it.
I don't believe it.
I'm sure it'll be on Ain't It Cool every week, and I'll follow it.
Yes, because that's what we do.
That's right.
You're not supposed to be making those comments.
Sorry, I can't help it. It's in there.
Just go on.
Right. Did you like Hancock?
Not enough to see a sequel.
Ah.
Is that what you're going to tell me?
That's what I was going to tell you.
Oh, God.
That there's talks about doing a sequel.
Hancock was the most missold movie by a trailer ever.
I liked Hancock. I know I'm going to get ripped apart. I constantly get ripped apart every time I say
this. That's right, folks. And if you'd like to rip OG apart, just give our hotline a call.
425-920-6050.
Or you can write geekstuffog@gmail.com. That's geekstuffog@gmail.com. If you would like to rip OG apart for saying how much he adored Hancock.
I didn't think it was the best movie ever made. By far.
Okay.
I appreciated the mythology that they created surrounding the characters.
Uh-huh.
I don't think Will Smith was amazing. I don't think Charlize Theron was amazing. I don't think, what's his name? Bateman, Teen Wolf 2, was amazing. I like the mythology that they created behind the characters. For that reason alone, I would be interested in seeing where they take it in a sequel. But overall, I don't care about a sequel. I'm not going to rush out to see it in the theater.
Can I ask why you have to pigeonhole Jason Bateman into Teen Wolf 2?
What about, I didn't want to say Arrested Development.
What about Arrested
Juno?
Development? What about It's Your Move in the 80s? There's one for you. I dare you to even tell me anything about that show.
I couldn't even let...
Exactly.
I have no idea. I just felt like saying Teen Wolf 2.
I'm just saying.
Maybe they'll do Teen Wolf 3.
Yeah. Maybe I'm a Chinese jet pilot.
Maybe you are.
Maybe it will star Will Smith's kid.
No, he's the next Karate Kid.
I know.
We've already got. Oh, no. It's not the Karate Kid. It's the Kung Fu Kid.
Yeah.
And it's Jackie Chan, and it takes place in Hong Kong.
Yep.
Or some horse
makes
shit.
Perfect sense.
No, it doesn't.
If it was, what's his name's kid, it would make perfect sense. What's his name? Who did all the movies with Jackie Chan? Chris Tucker?
Yo, why don't you teach my kid some of that Hong Kong shit?
We need, what's his name, to direct. The Rat.
The Rat. Brett Ratner behind the camera. Ugh. Yes.
So
Just Mike is chiming in. We got to get Just Mike a mic because
all right, we got to correct this.
Right for, on the sound effects time. And right the moment we mentioned the Rat, ugh, came out of his mouth.
So just based on the mythology.
Uh-huh.
I'd be interested in seeing it. That being said, real quickly, the mythology is kind of like they're gods that ended up on Earth. Yada yada, and that's why they're superheroes. I'd rather them see a Powers movie adapted from Oming, which is kind of in that vein with the gods, but we may have to settle for Hancock too.
I see.
Just saying.
Okay. So you like Hancock?
I don't like Hancock.
And if you'd like to rip OG apart for his love of Hancock, please go immediately to your computer and type up geekstuffog@gmail.com or give our hotline a call.
I'm not saying it.
425-920-6050 and leave a message for OG telling him how much you love him and how much you love his love of Hancock.
Professor...
Like, because it has cock in the title.
Is that what it is?
I'm just speculating.
All right, fine. Professor James Moriarty.
Yes. The this would be the arch nemesis of one Sherlock Holmes.
Right. Uh-huh. Have you heard who's been asked by Guy Ritchie to step into that role in the upcoming Sherlock Holmes film?
Now, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
You say step into the upcoming Sherlock Holmes film like that film isn't done.
Maybe it's not, because I just read that they've approached somebody to take that role on. And it's a name that I haven't heard attached to the project
now,
before.
Is this for the film that's already coming, or is this for maybe perhaps a sequel?
Yeah, they've added an additional 10 days to the shoot of the film.
Oh.
And they're expanding upon a character that I think may have been referenced, but maybe not seen. I'm not exactly sure how they worked it.
Okay.
So they had to cast that role now.
Okay. Let's guess. It's got to be a British guy.
No.
Ooh, an American.
An American.
Okay.
Someone who's worked with Guy Ritchie before.
Okay. American worked with Guy Ritchie. Okay, go ahead. What else? You got other clues?
If I give you the name of the movie, it'll
Brad Pitt.
Ah, there you go.
Did they ask Brad Pitt to be Moriarty?
Guy Ritchie asked Brad Pitt to be Moriarty.
Wow. That's interesting. Did Brad Pitt say yes?
I don't know. Because all I've read is that he asked him. I haven't heard if he's confirmed. I can only assume yes. Uh-huh. Because they're moving forward with the filming. So
wow.
Someone must have stepped in, and I haven't seen anybody's name mentioned yet. So I guess we're going to see Brad Pitt in this film now.
Wow.
Now, we should say that Jude Law and Downey Jr. have pretty much done all of their filming. So I don't know.
Reshoot, sir.
Yeah, I guess, but.
You missed Just Mike.
No, I heard
Just Mikeless was chiming in that that in fact they are going to be doing some reshoots, so maybe they're going to stick them in a bunch of scenes together just for continuity's sake.
Perhaps.
Yes, I would think that would be okay. That's going to be a hell of a movie, and that's coming soon too, isn't it? Is that a fall or Christmas? Really, Christmas Day, right?
Yeah, it's Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be fabulous.
Let's stick with Robert Downey Jr.
Okay. This would undoubtedly be some Marvel Iron Man news.
No, it's not Marvel Iron Man news, surprisingly enough.
Well, what could it possibly be?
It's Lestat. He's been asked to portray Lestat.
In what?
Do you know, Mike? Have you heard this? I don't know if it's an Anne Rice adaptation again or if it's a new movie. I just heard that he's been asked to portray Lestat.
Well, certainly they wouldn't be remaking Interview.
No.
And they would not be remaking Lestat. Just Mike is making his way over to the mic with a comment.
I had thought that I had read that it was a rumor at the point that they were going to remake Interview, or at least some kind of movie connected to it. And they were going to use Robert Downey Jr. in some form or another.
Okay, so it looks like I just found that it's a new series of movies based on the novels, and Downey Jr. has been asked to play Lestat. He hasn't confirmed or denied yet, but he has been asked. It doesn't say, at least from what I'm reading here, that they're remaking Interview or Lestat, so maybe
so
they're not.
Stupid.
Well,
it's just dumb.
Is it dumb, though?
Yeah, it's dumb.
All right, but let's take it strictly from a financial standpoint.
Okay.
Vampire Chic is big now.
Yeah, but you know what? That was the last wave of Vampire Chic.
And well, why not get back into the game?
Well, to have Anne Rice write a new fucking book or do that last one that they didn't do.
Well, they didn't do all of her books into movies.
They did.
They did three,
there
right?
There was another three. What was the three?
Wasn't Queen of the Damned?
Interview,
wasn't that a...
Queen of the Damned was the Lestat movie.
No, wasn't there a Lestat movie?
No, it was Queen of the Damned.
Oh, I thought there was a Lestat movie, too. All right, so two.
So that's two, but I'm pretty sure isn't there a one called Lestat?
I believe so.
Which, if they were going to make that book, which they haven't done yet, and with Robert Downey Jr. as Lestat, I mean, I guess I could see it. I can't really see it, but I have really trouble seeing him as a blonde, which kind of threw me off the deck, if you will, during Tropic Thunder when he was the blonde. That was really weird. But in any event, no, I don't think it's a good idea.
Okay.
Day end.
All right, I was just throwing it out there.
I'm just saying. In there were some DVDs that came out this week that we wanted to talk about.
there are a handful that we feel like we should mention.
And what are they? Because I didn't make it to the store because Best Buy Billy's at Monster Mania.
Dexter, the complete third season.
Yeah, I got to pick that up.
On regular and Blu-ray.
Do we have to establish what my criteria is for Blu-ray again?
If you'd like to mention it. Dexter would fall in there now?
No, because Dexter is not effects-driven.
So okay.
It loses it right from there. Yes, time-wise it fits because I'm thinking in the debate now, and although I have now bought my first Blu-ray, I have not started any convergence or anything.
Okay.
In other words, I haven't started replacing things that would qualify in my collection with Blu-ray. So that said, I think it's either going to be Attack of the Clones or Revenge of the Sith as the guideline, time-wise, forward, and effects-driven movies. So whatever that was. What's that? 02? It's 2000 and 02, isn't it? Something like that?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
And if that's the case, then it's either going to be one of those dates forward and only for effects-driven movies. Like, in other words, I'm not going to buy Must Love Dogs on Blu-ray. Not that I would buy Must Love Dogs at all, but I'm certainly not going to buy it on Blu-ray. Get all it?
Right. I feel you.
Okay.
Moving there. Away from Lestat.
Yes.
The Simpsons, the complete 12th season.
Uh-huh.
Both regular packaging and limited edition comic book guy head packaging.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate that plastic head packaging. And in fact,
but some people love it.
I'm not one of
them. Infatuated with it.
And in fact, the first season they did that with is when I stopped buying Simpsons discs because they didn't put out a regular version. You actually still have to call the company or send money somewhere to get the regular box.
All right.
Pisses me off. And I still haven't done that, and that's why I still don't have Bloody Simpsons up to date. And now they're on season 12. Damn.
The Last Starfighter, 25th Anniversary Edition.
Could be one of the most underrated great science fiction movies of all time. I love that movie. The soundtrack, the cast, the story, all terrific. And you consider that it comes from Disney, and you're kind of like, really? From Disney?
Tron.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying. But, you know, like, it's kind of the lesser known of the science. Really, in the trio of science fiction movies, live action, that they did, what's the trio? OG.
Last Starfighter,
come on,
Tron, and the Black Hole.
There you go. So in that trilogy, I'd say many people consider The Last Starfighter probably the least of those three movies. I say it's on par with both of those other movies, and both of those other movies are great.
I'd put it before The Black Hole.
No, I don't, because I think The Black Hole was so cerebral that it extended so far past beyond Disney and its own making that I think it surpassed its own expectations even. It was so cerebral.
All right, fair
what
enough.
What a very brilliant movie. But that said, for its own part, Last Starfighter was as brilliant a movie,
sure.
I felt. And what do we know any, are there any details that we can share with the listeners regarding this release of The Last Starfighter? Is there anything special about it? Because now I'm going to get it, of course, and I'm going to struggle because here's an effects-driven movie that took place before, you know, the sort of advent of that sort of thing. So do I get it on Blu-ray? I think no, but I think I will buy an updated edition of it.
It is a single-disc edition. It's okay. Digitally remastered. It has the same exact commentary track that the original release had. It has the same DVD documentary that the original release had. It does have a new featurette called Heroes of the Screen, but I don't know what that is. It's got the theatrical and teaser trailer included in there.
Ooh.
And I think that's the bulk of it.
Okay. So I'll tell you what, then probably I'll pick it up and swap it out for my old one just to have the new material.
Fair enough.
Is what I think.
Pete's Dragon Special Edition also coming out.
Yes.
This week.
And, of course, another great Disney flick. I think one of the better live-action animation crossovers that's ever been done. Really terrific stuff there. Where basically you have a live-action movie that has one fully animated character throughout the film.
Right.
And is there anything special about that release that
well,
we
it's,
can share?
You know, they're calling it the High Flying Edition, which to me just means it's the latest Disney release. But let me see. Give me 1 second.
High Flying Edition. The Smoke Crack Edition.
No, it's also a single disc. No, it's also a single disc. It's nothing really special. I don't think that I own the other version of this, though. So for me, it's a good because
there's no real comparison in the sense that there isn't any new material on there.
It's just remastered again. I'm sure that they've probably tightened everything up a little bit. The previous release, I don't think it was before they were doing that whole anniversary platinum remastering thing with the Disney
films. I'll have to go to the library and check it out.
Beast Season 1, the I Can't Believe He's Still Alive edition.
The who?
Patrick Swayze. That was the Patrick Swayze TV show that just got canceled.
The Beast.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I thought you just said Beast, and I'm thinking X-Men, and I'm like, I know I didn't miss that. Yeah, the it's painful to watch TV show. Yeah, I got it. I got you.
I think that's it. There was a handful of other smaller things, but those are the big ones.
Okay. I thought there was something else that was fairly significant.
The Smurfs, Smurfy Tales.
No.
Last House on the Left, 2009 edition.
That actually I heard was a really good flick, but what else?
Spring Break, Man vs. Wild.
Okay. No.
The Sons of Anarchy.
No.
The Tyson documentary.
You're just getting into the... The chaff, sir.
I'm getting into the bottom of the list. Garbage. Okay,
right. Some DVDs to check out. There you go. Let's talk about comical books, shall we? None of which are funny this week. From Dynamite Entertainment, it's Zorro, number 15.
Girls Gone Wild, Girls Who Crave Sex 3.
All right. Thank you. Jeez. There was a 3 in that?
But yeah, there was.
Wow. Girls Who Crave Zorro issue 15 from Dynamite Entertainment continues the terrific art and story. You know, I love the pulpy
booty
stuff.
Booty Poppin' volume 7.
All right, we're on comics now, sir. Booty Poppin'. This Zorro 15 continues the great Zorro story that we've been following all along. I'm really excited about this book. I hope this book goes 100 issues and I'll read each and every damn one of them.
What issue number is that?
15, sir.
Have they collected any of them yet?
Yes, sir, they have.
Nice.
I think they have.
I'll add that to my Big Apple Con list of trades to look for.
A Marvel milestone has occurred, Matthew. Do you know what it is?
Tick.
Give you a minute.
Joe Quesada.
Nope, has nothing to do, thankfully, with Joe Quesada. Although, you could say, in a sense, that maybe it did.
I don't know what the milestone is.
Sure?
I'm positive.
Okay. It is Daredevil's 500th issue.
Oh, I did know that was coming out this week.
Yes, and I have unexpectedly picked up the Alex Ross cover.
Completely out of left field for you.
Yes, and it's a wonderfully thick book. It's got four different story parts, if you will. The Return of the King, the conclusion of that storyline that's been running. It's got three other stories. Pin-up galleries, cover galleries. It actually reprints the entire issue of Daredevil 191 by Frank Miller.
Okay.
So that's interesting. Yes. So there it is. Daredevil 500 from Marvel. Really presented very nice. Look at this. They got Daredevil kind of montage cover gallery in the back.
I like that. That's kind of
neat. It has all 500 covers of Daredevil laid side by side with each other. Isn't that terrific?
It's a nice little, you know, if you're a collector or a fan of the Daredevil, definitely worth your while.
What, are you not a fan, sir?
It's not that I'm not a fan. I don't read it.
Because it sounds like you're not a fan.
All right, I'm not a fan. You found me out. You've discovered me.
What is your problem with Daredevil?
I have no fucking problem with Daredevil.
Well, I don't get you, sir. Daredevil 500, check it out. We've been talking over the last couple of weeks about the Red Circle books. Initially, I was opposed to these books because, as we know, I am not a fan of J. Michael Straczynski.
Yes.
However, having read the first two, Hangman and Inferno, I eagerly sought out the third of the one-shot books, bringing these four characters back to the modern era, if you will. And this week's revamped character is the web, and I really did enjoy the web.
Good.
And of all of them, I'll be honest, I wanted to hate this one the most, and I liked it. In fact, I'll be reading the ongoing series that'll be coming out in the fall. I'm slipping into that Charlie Brown voice.
You are. It's kind of creepy.
I just, I don't know why all the kids in Charlie Brown talk like this. That voice.
Yeah, I'm
The Web, number one, written by Straczynski, Roger Robinson, and Hilary Barda, also handling their respective jobs on the book. Terrific, terrific book. I'm really looking forward to the ongoing series not being written by J. Michael Straczynski. Also, check out Wednesday Comics number 7. This is the weekly newsprint broadsheet, if you will, comics, single page, ongoing story comics featuring all the characters that you enjoy. Batman, Superman, Deadman, Metal Men. The Metal Men story is surprisingly good, considering it's been written by Dan DiDio. I have to say there, I have to qualify it by saying that Dan DiDio wrote it, so not everyone will like it. Demon, Hawkman, Metamorpho, they're all in here for you to enjoy, and others. It's a great experiment. I really like it. I don't know how long it's going to go on, but I really dig it. Maybe it's just for the summer. I don't know. And finally, a trade paperback to come out that has come out. Absolutely fantastic. It's the Marquee, Guy Davis. It's a collection of the three arcs of this character that he's done, the Marquee, and it's called Inferno, but it actually collects Danse Macabre, Hell's Courtesan, and A Sin of One, which are the three sort of chapters of this character that Guy Davis has done. This is a black and white. Some of it's in black and white. Some of it's in color. It's got pinups. It's got sketchbook artwork and so on and so forth.
It's fancy.
People compare it to everything. It's been compared to V for Vendetta. It's been compared to Zorro in many cases. It's been compared to a lot of those type of things. Not unfair comparisons, but I'll tell you, with the exception of V, it's done better than most of them. With regards to storytelling, artwork, presentation, and so forth. So there it is. It's the Marquee Inferno, the collected Danse Macabre and Intermezzo, Hell's Courtesan, and A Sin of One. Going to run you about $25 from Dark Horse Comics. It's well worth it. I don't think you're going to get a better trade sort of standalone thing to read this year. I don't think you're going to get it.
All right.
So there it is. I can't wait. I really look forward to seeing what he does with this character next. I hope he's going to do something with it. So there it is. And that's comics for the week.
You know, I wasn't able to get that TMNT collection. I got to add that to my list of books to find now.
Why didn't you put it on Amazon? Oh, because you're just going to...
I'll just wait.
You're going to scam it at a con?
Yeah, that's all. Have you watched... We have to take a tangent, but it's appropriate for the show.
Okay.
Have you watched The Colony?
The Colony?
On Discovery?
No.
You need to watch The Colony on Discovery.
Okay.
It's a reality show, but not really. It's about, they take a group of people. Okay. I think it's initially 6 or 10 people.
Okay.
And they're doing an experiment. It's like a social experiment of what happens if the world, there was a viral outbreak and most people were killed off kind of thing.
Okay.
And so they put them in this cordoned off area in LA somewhere. It's like got a warehouse and then like there's this nature preserve area, and it's about them trying to survive, but they send in like gangs and stuff to try to rob them at night, and they have to like get food and they have to like filter water. It's really, really good. I think there's like 4 or 5 episodes out so far.
So it's like called The Biodome.
Yeah, except that they're not like in a biodome.
And they're not stupid.
Right. It doesn't involve a Baldwin.
Is it a reality show or is it scripted? Well,
it's not scripted.
Okay.
It's a reality show. Like you know, they got people to sign up for the experiment to do it. And they know that they're participating in it, but they don't know exactly what's going to happen.
They know that it's real or not real? Or
yes, they know that it's not real. They know that it's part of an experiment.
Right.
But still, just the way they interact and seeing them go through things like how to filter water,
right?
And how they like build security systems and fight off these people that are like trying to rob them and
beat
them up. And
I'll check it out. You got me. You sold me, sir. I'm in.
Walking Dead just reminded me of that for some reason. So.
Sure, I can see the comparison. Plus, you know that I am a huge Survivor fan.
Right.
All right, maybe we
people don't get voted off on the call.
Maybe we should take a break.
Let's take a break.
And we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 159. We interrupt this program to bring you Stupid.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out ComboBreaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Paget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada.
Hey, this is Lance Guest from The Last Starfighter, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It'll be a slaughter!
That's the spirit!
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 159, something about being interrupted.
We interrupt this program to bring you Stupid.
See, I can't do the voice, so I gotta leave it to you.
I didn't really do the voice that time.
I know, but still.
So, we were left, as we left the first time, we were talking about The Colony.
Right.
And I recalled another show that I was forced to watch recently.
Okay.
And that was Expedition Africa.
Right.
Which I think was on Nat Geo, wasn't it? National Geographic?
Yes, I believe that you are correct in that assumption.
And it was a bunch of, and my understanding was it was a bunch of people who were recreating the march through Africa that was taken by Stanley, what's his name? The reporter Stanley looking for Dr. Livingston. Dr. Livingston, I presume.
Right.
That expedition.
Okay.
They were retracing the steps of that that turn of the century expedition. And I don't mean turn of the century 20 into 21, but 19 into 20th century.
Right.
Okay. And so I from the historical perspective and from the fact that it was a Mark Burnett production, is the guy who does Survivor, I'm like, I have to watch this show. And I watched the first episode, and within 10 minutes, I knew no matter how much it sucked, I was going to have to watch the whole thing because they had one of the hottest girls I've ever seen in the show. Her name is Maria something
Maria
or other.
Mayor.
Maria Mayor. Or, doctor, right? Maria Mayor?
Yeah, she's some sort of
doctor of animal shit.
Biologist.
Doctor, animal doctor. Not veterinarian, but like scientist, right. Animal doctor. But, I mean, she's incredibly hot, sir. She has an awesome body. And she was a cheerleader for like the Miami Dolphins.
Yes. That's correct. Miami.
I mean, I was just flabbergasted. I was like, wow. And then I didn't even care. They were like, you know, they really built in the suspense into this thing. And there's a reporter and he gets sick, or one of the guides or somebody gets sick and you're like, da, da, da. And there's like, and somebody has malaria. And, you know, it's like all the shit. And I didn't care.
If her cans can't heal him, who cares?
That's it. That was exactly it. And she had the quite a set, sir. So it was worth the scantily clad visions that occurred during the show.
Right.
And I'm telling you, if she wasn't on that, I'd abandon it day one because it just wasn't great. But she was incredibly hot. Dr. Myrea Mayor.
Mayor, yeah.
Yeah.
M-A-Y-O-R. M-I-R-E-Y-A.
Hot. So she's of Spanish origin.
Yes.
From Florida.
Right.
And a cheerleader. I mean, do I need to say more than this?
I don't think so. I think
Googler,
you've established it.
Or if you're listening to us on your iPod or watching us on iTunes or QuickTime, you can see some of the related images of things that we're talking about pop up on your screen. Otherwise, you can go over to Big Kev's Geek Stuff and check out the photo gallery for this episode 159. So there it is. All right, let's talk about it.
Okay.
So last Saturday night, we were invited by Anthony of the Opie and Anthony Show.
Right.
To do a live Big Kev's Geek Stuff from the compound, which
correct.
Is the broadcast studio that he has built in his basement.
Right.
And there is a lot of things being said and so on and so forth about what happened. So we're just going to clear the record, at least from our perspective.
Right.
When I visited Anthony several months ago at his home, where he showed me his fabulous movie, what do you call it? Movie
theater.
Theater. Yeah, movie theater, and showed me around some of the improvements, if you will, on the house that he had made since the last time I had been there. I hadn't seen him or really been out to the house in quite a while. I had borrowed a video camera from him, which he wanted back. For his studio, so I was glad to take it out there, bring my fiance out to see the house and so on and so forth. And let's be honest, it's an impressive goddamn house.
It is. It's very nice.
At that time, I discussed with Anthony that I did have interest in doing a live Big Kev's Geek Stuff from the compound. When we initially had talked about it, Ant said, all you need is a live stream account, which we have, live stream /
BK Geek Stuff.
BK Geek Stuff. And so what we had hoped was to be able to do our show on our channel from his facility.
Right.
And for some reason, when I discussed it with Anthony, the one caveat I made was I only want to do this, Anthony, if I can do it straight. Because
right.
As some of you loyal fans may know, we used to do live shows over on the Saturday Night Virus on Sirius XM 202.
That's correct.
We were doing a pre-recorded show for a while over there as well, which
also
is currently
correct.
Currently not happening as a regular piece, but we hope that that will change at some point. And Anthony said, of course, and pretty much said to me that I had nothing to worry about.
Right.
And that he would be glad to have us there. He would be glad to allow us to use the facilities. We could do it straight, and we wouldn't have any problems like the ones that we ran into doing the live shows over at
Sirius XM.
At XM, yes.
At the time, XM.
Yes, and there were personalities at XM who did not appreciate what we do and who did not act in a professional manner with regards to our show.
Right.
And rather than sitting back and taking it, we, or particularly me, I was vocal about the fact that I did not appreciate the unprofessionalism that this particular individual
had.
And so, of course, my questioning this person and not allowing him to disrespect anybody associated with this program with his lack of respect of it, I was not going to allow that to occur without me saying something. So I said something. And essentially what I was told in return was that I was complaining and I was disrespectful of him and in essence, not in essence, in flat out words that I didn't kiss his ass enough in order to continue to get live shows on XM. And there right. were a lot of rumors about those live shows as well. Like, we never had any callers, which was a lie.
Right.
We had full phone banks. Every live show that we did, that we took phone calls. And then we didn't take phone calls on all of them. But the ones that we did take phone calls on, we had full banks every time. Every right. time.
Despite we always had calls.
That this individual was saying that we didn't have phone calls, we did. Despite the fact that this individual isn't interested in our content, there are a lot of people who are, and there are a lot of people who listen to us, continue to listen to us today in whatever format we extend the show in. And therefore, regardless of what this individual's personal tastes are, there are people who listen to this program. However, that individual's lack of respect for anybody else's opinion other than his own and the opinion of his, let's call them, fellow cronies, led to the confrontation that occurred over email, over the telephone, and over some message boards between myself and that individual, where in essence he said privately, not in the public forum, but in the private forums, he said to me that I had best appreciate him if I ever wanted to be on the Saturday Night Live Saturday Night Virus live shows again, to which I responded, I'm not gonna allow you to berate and belittle my show, because there's, you know, if it's just me, that's one thing, but to berate and belittle the work of other people who don't have a 10-year association with the Opie and Anthony show, like OG, like Fantastic back in the day, like Mike Abyss Prime, like Best Buy Billy, and other research people and other people who do things for this program, who do not have an extensive history with the Opie and Anthony show, who only understand that this individual was being unprofessional without cause.
Let's remove us from that picture also. It's not fair to the people who tuned in, enjoyed, appreciated, contributed, and were part of those shows as listeners as well.
Right.
Those were people who were participating in the show by uh-huh. actively listening, by calling, and they deserved to have the show that they were listening to run smoothly,
right.
Be uninterrupted,
uh-huh.
and be a professional broadcast just like anybody else in our position
right.
would ask.
And we asked for respect, and we asked for professionalism. And
that was it.
And we didn't get it. And we said that particular individual didn't have to do anything. In fact, we had E-Rock,
one of the
producers from the Opie and Anthony show, who was helping us do all that stuff that individual had to do. And that individual, in essence, when we had a show, really didn't have to do anything.
Nope.
And but took it upon himself to take the opportunity to, you know, perhaps come to the show in an unprofessional manner, and I'll leave it at that, and then proceed to act unprofessionally while he was there. So that discord ended the live shows for us on Saturday Night Virus. And when I said to Anthony that I wanted to do it straight, I meant, and I think Anthony understood, that what I meant by that was I didn't want to have those sorts of concerns when we were doing our show live from the compound.
Right.
He assured me, some 2 months prior to us doing it last Saturday, that would be the case. Now, when we showed up to Anthony's house that Saturday night, we found a comfortable Anthony, who certainly was very happy to see us. We thought we had brought him, actually, we bought him a present for right. having us at his house. It was a new Hallmark Star Trek ornament.
The menagerie.
Yes, it had Captain Christopher Pike in the chair in the middle from the original series, Kirk and Spock figures on the side, and it had dialogue from the TV show, and Pike's light lit up once for yes, twice for no. It was, I think, a nice little appropriate gift. It's one of Anthony's favorite Star Trek things, and I think Anthony was very pleased to have us there, very pleased to have that. However, that individual that we mentioned earlier was also there. And our first instinct was not to do the show because that this individual would instigate something to happen was more than likely because he was there. And the long and short of it was around eight o'clock or so, Anthony took us down into his facility in his basement, showed us how to use it, did some graphics for us, was very helpful and very a terrific, gracious host. And in fact, in the first 10 minutes of the show, he brought us he brought OG a beer. He brought me a bottle of water because I do not drink, a thing that he well knows. And we proceeded to do our show. We took some phone calls. We dispensed some news. We were in a nice stream of taking listener calls at about an hour and 10 minutes or so. And what we thought to ourselves was, and it was about 10:30 at that point, because we had started around 9 o'clock. It was getting, well, a little after we had intended to start 9 o'clock. So it was sometime after nine we started, but it was getting up to 10:30 and we thought we were doing so well, we would go to 11 o'clock,
right?
Taking phone calls as long as people were calling in. There was a message board. Of course, we were receiving the typical, message board, appreciation, if you will.
And right.
I use that term loosely.
I'm the literal bald guy.
Yeah. And we were glad to have that sort of interaction, even if it was bias and negative, and that's fine. But that was not what was occurring with the phone calls. We had had two phone calls that I thought we handled very well that were not really on topic. And the rest of the phone calls we had were all people interested in talking about particular topics that we cover. Comic books, toys, sci-fi, movies, all of those geek culture items that we cover. So we were glad to take them. We were glad to dispense any information that we had about them as we felt our way through this show. About that time was when the first interruption in the show occurred. Apparently, Anthony, who, shall we say, had become very comfortable, and rightly so, the man's in his own home, had become very comfortable and decided that perhaps he could, because we were using his channel and not our own, which is a mistake that we made, that he could tap into the show from his laptop upstairs outside on the back patio and interrupt our show. And he and this other individual did this. They then went on to mock our program by talking about, essentially mocking the sort of things that we cover on our show that people are interested in. And the first one ended, and then it happened again, and then it happened again. And then it happened, I think it happened one last time, and by now we've caught wind of it, and we pretty much decided we were going to end our program at that point because the disrespect shown to us and the people who were actually interested in the program was much too much to bear. And we decided that we were going to end the program, and we gave our plugs. We thanked the host for allowing us to use his facilities. Despite
my better judgment.
Right, despite the situation and despite the fact that when we saw that individual, we should have thought twice about doing it, and we didn't. We made a mistake.
You're a kinder man than I am.
I know. And that said, the next thing that happened was Anthony decided to keep broadcasting from his laptop upstairs after we left, the air, I should say, but hadn't left the house. Of course, Twitter, our phones, our everything start beeping and buzzing and saying
from the people not listening
from
to
the people,
show.
Right, who were saying that they were still broadcasting from the laptop and were waiting for us to come upstairs in order to, I guess, in a way, ambush us for what purpose? I don't know, to belittle us, to make fun of us, and so on and so forth. And I text Anthony a couple of things, which, of course, he read out over the air, which I really didn't appreciate. But I understand that Anthony, being comfortable in his own home, decided that, you know, this was a funny course of action that he could take, and I just didn't agree with that assessment. So that said, we decided to go out the front door and not be part of that confrontation in the back. However, I didn't feel like we should leave without saying thank you to Anthony himself for having us there. So I did go back in the house and out the back, and I expressed to Anthony, unbeknownst to me, but I suspected that Anthony was still broadcasting, and that whether it was being done video or audio, that the things I was saying were being broadcast, and that's fine. I didn't say anything I regret. I didn't say anything I didn't mean. And that's the truth. And I told Anthony that I was greatly disappointed with what had occurred because Anthony had promised me I would play it straight. Anthony, said back to me that I should have expected this and so on and so forth, which I didn't agree with at all. And the other individual had some things to say as well, to which I promptly told him that he had no position to say anything. Because this was typical of anything that he is near. And I did let that individual know that one day we would square accounts, in essence, is what I said. And I still feel that's correct. One day we will square accounts with that individual. So that said, Anthony then came into the house so we could determine if we would be able to get a copy of it, of the video material that was done, the broadcast, so that we would in some way be able to share that with the audience who wasn't able to view it. Anthony did put some of those videos up on his server and so on and so forth, and we were able to get them inside the house away from the other individual and away from – there were actually two other individuals there as well who may have been friends of the aforementioned individual, but I don't know what the circumstance was there. And Anthony – away from that scene, apologized to me and said that he was very sorry that this had occurred, and he didn't realize that there was this sort of history, number one, and that I would be so completely offended by it. And I took that apology and I accepted it, and I was very hurt by the whole situation. I did receive several text messages from Anthony, both later that evening and the following day, when he was less comfortable, shall we say. I understand and appreciate his position, and I thought it was very appropriate and kind of Anthony to offer those apologies. So that in essence, and then, of course, what people are talking about is what happened after I left, which was, of course, the individual who had nothing to say while I was there, no defense to anything I was accusing him of while I was there, then had plenty to say when I wasn't there, which, of course, is a coward's move. And that's fine. And like I said, and I say it again, one day I'll square accounts with that individual. People are talking about what happened afterwards with Anthony and so on and so forth. I don't really have any comments about any of that stuff. That stuff doesn't concern us. A lot of people have been asking us, you know, what happened, what was going on. I don't really have any comments about that. I didn't see it. Or, well, point of fact, I did see it. But, you know, I don't have any interest in sharing my comments or opinions on it. What happened after we left really has nothing to do with us. And so, you know, I recommend that if you have questions or comments in that area, that, you know, you somehow find a way to address Anthony himself and be done with it, or let it go. It's not that big of a deal. You know, what we were concerned with is what happened with our show, and that's what we wanted to comment on and clear the record about. So we were very upset that it did not go as well as we had intended it go. But, you know, what can you do? You can't, you know, it's an imperfect world. What can you say? Next time, of course, when we're presented with such a situation where we feel uncomfortable at the beginning, OG and I know that we will not proceed into uncomfortableness or something that we feel is not on the up and up. And that was our error.
It was an error in judgment.
Yeah.
I thought where maturity may prevail and perhaps bridges that had previously been destroyed could at least be mended for an hour and a half, perhaps 2 hours. Clearly, that was something that was incapable of happening.
And I figured, considering Anthony had you know, essentially told me that I would have nothing to worry about by doing the show there, that in fact I would have nothing to worry about, and that just simply wasn't the case.
Right.
So there it is. That's our side. Everybody is speculating that we did this and we hate that, and we have these huge, and none of it's true. Anthony apologized to us. Anthony was the person who provided us that opportunity. He apologized. I take his apology seriously, and I have no beef.
You're a good man.
I don't know about that, but I have no beef. As far as the other individual goes, I said what I said about that individual, and I haven't changed one iota of it. You know, and despite the fact that we've been receiving threats that, you know, we should never mention that individual again, I'm not mentioning his name because everybody knows what it is and who he is and the caliber of the character of the individual. But none of what I said isn't true. None of what I said with regards to squaring accounts has changed. So whoever Dave is that's sending us threatening emails, you can put that in your pipe and smoke it. And anywhere you'd like to meet, sir, and hash it out, I'd be glad to do that. So that said, I think we take a break and we come back with the wrap up and we end this episode 159. We interrupt this program to bring you Stupid.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow, with all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Bitch, what you don't know about me, I'm just about squeezing the Grand fucking Canyon.
Hey, this is Kevin Smith, Big Kev's love slave.
Did you know I always wanted to be a dancer in Vegas?
Then you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
What do you look so shocked for, man? Fat bastard does this all the time. He thinks just because he don't say anything, it'll have some huge impact when he does open his fucking
mouth. Jesus Christ, why don't you shut up?
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 159. We interrupt this show to bring you Stupid.
Yep.
What did we talk about tonight, Big Kev? We talked about Spider-Man, the stupid musical failing before it even had a chance, and Marvel making what may or may not be a stupid decision, having the fifth and sixth Spider-Man movies written before the fourth ever comes out at all.
Right.
Bryan Singer has been brought on board to fast track a silly rebooting, reimagined, re-envisioned Battlestar Galactica.
Bryan Singer is going to attempt to destroy his third successful franchise.
That's right. Thank you, Bryan Singer. Lionsgate was successful in nabbing Kick-Ass, so that's some good news. I like Lionsgate. I'm excited to see Kick-Ass.
Uh-huh.
And we may see a sequel to Hancock, even if you don't like the movie, even if you hate me for liking the movie. The mythology created within the realm of the movie, I think, was good and may warrant a sequel on some level.
Like to give OG a good tongue lashing about that? You can write him at geekstuffog@gmail.com.
That's right.
Or you can call our hotline.
425-920-6050.
See, I was going to start giving the number because I didn't think you were going to do it again.
Nah.
Comic books to check out this week include Zorro by Dynamite Entertainment, Zorro 15. The Web, number one, the Red Circle book by Straczynski. It's a one-shot, so you don't have to worry about getting sucked into a bad Straczynski story. Wednesday Comics, number seven. This is the broadsheet, many-character... full-size newsprint book. Daredevil number 500. Congratulations, Marvel. You got another book to 500. And it's actually one of the ones you haven't entirely screwed up. And finally, the trade paperback, The Marquee Inferno by Guy Davis, collects Dance Macabre, Hell's Courtesan, and A Sin of One, and a whole bunch of other design art, pinup art, and so forth for this terrific character. $24.95. It's going to run you from Dark Horse Books. DarkHorse.com is the site to check out there.
On DVD this week, we talked about Dexter Season 3, Simpsons Season 12, Pete's Dragon Special Edition, Last Starfighter Special Edition, Girls Gone Wild, Girls Who Like Sex 3.
Come on.
Big Booty Babe 7.
Was it Popping Butts, wasn't it?
Something like that. Did we miss any? Did I get them all?
And tonight in segment two, we discussed what's being discussed about our Live from the Compound show this past Saturday. And I hope we'll put at least our part of that controversy to rest. So there's hoping that we do that.
Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. We have each and every episode along with all of the video content live from Studio V, including con footage. We still have some of those fantastic t-shirts for sale, although not for sale, Flash Gordon commentary DVDs, even if you try to buy one.
That's right. Even if you manage to accidentally find the website, you will not get one of those DVDs.
They are gone. Don't forget, you can also check out the forums over at OctoberToys.com with our good friends from Toy Break. We're also part of the Geeker Dome Network. It's us, Flick, Hippo Juice, the Timothy Brothers, Sir Roland, Jamie's in his likeness, Coke Logic and Blue Healer's Gift of Oni. I don't know. There's a ton of other podcast shows, blogs.
Are we announcing the Win a Date with Marie?
You have to talk to Marie about that.
We talked to her on the Live from the Compound show. She said she was up for it if it was for a good cause.
But then Roy said he was to be in charge of pimping her out.
Hey,
so
what's a better cause than Big Kev's Galactic Empire? What's a better cause than that?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
I think she'd like the winner. I'm not saying it would be fixed, but I'm just saying I'm sure she would like the winner.
I think that's going to about wrap us up for this episode of the show.
Yes.
And, yeah.
And as is the custom, we have a producer in training. I think Just Mike did a really good job.
I think he did a fantastic job.
So all we have to do is figure out now if we can coordinate our schedules to have Just Mike make the commitment to do all of the production work. The producer work.
That's right.
For this program. And I guess we'll give him the shot right now Just Mike.
Tough.
Do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 159? We interrupt this program to bring you Stupid.
Well, any final words would just be that Brett Ratner fucking sucks. And thank you for having me on the show. That's all I really have to say.
That's sufficient.
That's it. You heard it here.
And on that note, we cue the music.
You know what? It's a brazzle-dazzle day. So throw off the past and everything in it. That's the brazzle-dazzle way. Enjoying your time from minute to minute. Running through the sand without your shoes on.
Shoes on.
Making sure that you don't keep your blues on.
Finding a boat we can cruise on.
It's a brazzle-dazzle day. When you think of love and never of sorrow, that's the brazzle-dazzle way. To do your work now
and take off tomorrow. Flying through the air, you don't need wings on.
Wings on.
Climb right up and feel the thrill it brings on.
Rock with the wind as it sings on.
Ride higher and higher and glide above the clouds. Free, no one to catch us or slow us. Even the birds are below us. It's a brazzle-dazzle day. A lifetime of joy.
just begun. We'll follow the sun and replay this frazzled. A frolic, you'll become a brassaholic. Just a few hours, all our brazzle dazzle years have just begun. We'll follow the sun.